Welcome back to the Durham Voice Voices. I'm Brighton McConnell. This podcast series is produced and reported for the Durham Voice, the community newspaper for Northeast Durham. With this project, we're reconnecting with former Voice staff members and the Durham community, allowing them to share their journeys and experiences since working with the newspaper. Our guest this week is Zenzele Barnes. Zenzele was the Voice's first ever teen editor-in-chief while she was a senior at Jordan High School in 2010 and 2011. She was born and raised in Durham, but moved to Charlotte to attend Queen's University and study new media design. Since graduating in 2015, she has since returned to Durham and works as the community manager at Durham social impact hub, ReCity. I recently had a phone call with Zenzele, and we talked about her career path after The Voice, how she came back to Durham, and what it was like working for the paper in its earliest stages. Let's take a listen. Before we get into what you're doing now with ReCity, I'm just curious, you know, being the first teen editor, you were there when The Voice was kind of in its fledgling years, when it was still trying to figure out kind of what model it was going to go with, how it was going to cover its Durham community. So I'm just curious, what was the paper and working for the paper like when you first joined?
Yeah, when I first joined the team in 2010, it was very bare bones, a lot of excited energy, and kind of, I think it was very open to possibilities because me coming in, I was like, I'm not really sure what my role is in all of this. I'm excited about it. I think it's important to tell these stories of Northeast Central Durham, but then Durham in general, because to me, growing up here, I heard a lot of really positive stories through my communities, my family. But I think on a larger scale, there was a lot of very negative attention on Durham, and people were really trying to condense the story of the city into one that was just about violence and about framing it as someplace that was really unsafe and not welcoming to folks. And so that wasn't what I saw. And I think everyone that was a part of The Voice when it very, at the very beginning, realized that if we want to kind of get into the root of that, we have to actually go into the communities and have folks be empowered to tell their own stories and negate that. And so I think that's what it is. It was very, very much a kind of a startup type of culture. And we were just kind of figuring things out. And I still remember the first issue that got printed was such a big deal. And it turned into every time we would get an issue printed, Jock would drop them off at my high school at Jordan. And I would just give them to all my friends. Like, I was so excited about being able to share something that I was a part of, but then also, again, bringing it into the spaces that I was a part of and telling, again, telling that story of Durham.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, I mean, there was a certain level of responsibility that you had right out of the gate, too, becoming the first teen editor. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like as well?
Right. So I was definitely intimidated by writing for a community newspaper, but at the same time, at that age, I had actually been on my school's yearbook for 2 years, and so I was kind of used to the process of taking pictures, doing interviews with folks, and seeking out different stories, and so in that sense, I was more comfortable going into the unknown. Especially because the way that I met Jock was through a summer photojournalism intensive at Seesaw Studio, which was a nonprofit art space for teenagers. And I was a part of that program. And so he kind of broke down to me, okay, here's my vision. This is what I want it to be. This is why I want you to get involved. And so it was great because when you're the first person to jump into the role, there is no precedent. So you get to set that for yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
And, yeah, and Jock was such a great mentor in helping me really dial into the stories that I wanted to tell because I always had this complex of, well, I don't know who would want to read what I have to say. But now that I'm older and I look back on that, I realize how absolutely important it is for normal people to talk about the things that they see in their community, especially young people, because I think that a lot of the time people are so quick to dismiss their observations of the world, how they are, you know, organizing. I mean, there's just so much power at that age. And we're seeing now so many people's ability to come together and really fight for causes that they care about and speak on their communities in a way that's so nuanced and mature, for lack of a better word. And so I think being able to be in that role of the first teen editor, it was very empowering for me. So I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. Was there a first story or anything like that that kind of helped you realize that it was empowering you? Or was it not until down the road that you kind of realized just how big of an impact that position left?
Yeah. You know, at the time, I don't think that I had a real clue that The Voice was going to take off in the way that it did. Again, I was just talking about things that I cared about, things that I saw. I talked a lot about the arts and Seesaw. We would have gallery shows each semester, and they were open to the community, and we'd have them at different places. I remember one semester we had a show at in the building, the John Hope Franklin Center at Duke. And so having them at that space, having them at our own studio space, I would just talk about the why behind certain projects, because that one in particular, we connected to different figures in Black history, or we could incorporate Adinkra symbols, West African symbols, into our pieces. And so it was kind of us connecting the dots of our identities to folks that had been talking about Black culture, Black issues for years. The program doesn't exist anymore, but there's so many different stories like that, that just the act of documenting it and telling that story and being able to speak on that is so important. And to put a pen in someone's hand, to put a camera in someone's hand, and have them kind of share what's going on with them is so powerful. And I think a lot of what makes me realize how important being a part of The Voice is now is through my mom's mom, my grandma Dorothy, because she's been in her community just on her own for years, going around and talking to different elders and just having them speak about their lives, about what they've noticed in their community, the changes, just anything that they want to talk about. And she'll record it and keep it for record's sake. And I think that that's something that The Voice has been doing, is just capturing those everyday stories so well. And again, it speaks to the heart of the community. So not just painting over it in one broad stroke and saying Northeast Central Durham is X, Y, or Z, but you're really allowing the folks in the community to define what that community is for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of have a chance to be involved in that too at ReCity. And mm-hmm. You said that you've been there for just over a year now. Can you talk a little bit about what led you to ReCity and what ReCity is?
Yes. So after I finished college, I really wanted to do something that I felt had a bigger impact in my community. And so that led me to do 2 years of AmeriCorps with the Boys and Girls Clubs in Wake County. And I also did a program called City or Miami. So after coming home from both of those experiences and working again in Durham, I was working with Michelle Gonzalez Green over at Liberty Arts as the arts administration apprentice. And she actually pointed out the job opportunity towards me and said, I think that this is something that you could really flourish in. And I learned about ReCity from there, and it's been a really good match for the past year. In ReCity, we are a nonprofit social impact hub. We exist to build capacity for all of the organizations that are part of our network. Right now, we have about 40 different organizations, over 100 community leaders that use the space every day. And our space is similar to that of a co-working space. So we have a mix of folks with dedicated desk space, and then we have a lot of people that just use all of the open spaces for meetings, for work, whatever they want. And we're able to also host events here through the partners that work here. But ReCity also has a unique event called the ReCity Roundtable, which is a bi-monthly TED-style talk where we will pass the mic to one of our partners and they can talk about a social justice impact area that informs their work. So being able to jump in on the projects like the roundtable, and also as a community manager, I'm constantly providing administrative and operational support to everyone in the building. It's just been so great to be a part of a really unique place because a lot of authenticity exists in this building, and everyone here has a stake in wanting to tell a better story of Durham and really wanting to get at the impact of some of our issues in the community. Because, you know, when you think about poverty and disenfranchised communities, first you have to acknowledge the history of those communities. And then you also have to look at the fact that it's not just one thing that is affecting someone, say that they're housing insecure. You have to look more holistically, okay, to see, are they connected to food resources or do they live in a food desert? What is the educational climate that people are raising their children in? So you're looking at it from all these different angles. And I think because we have such a broad network that exists in one building, we're really able to talk about these things more holistically than I've seen done in the past. So it's a very unique place, and I'm really excited to be a part of Free City.
Yeah, it absolutely sounds like it. And I mean, added bonus, you're working in the same community that you grew up in too. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like being able to just kind of stay home and help the community that you grew up in those ways.
Yes. Durham, absolutely, hands down, is one of my favorite places. And I say that I'm from here. I'm biased, of course. I know this. But it's really special to me to be in a place where I still feel connected to what's going on here. And I feel like I have a personal stake in what's going on in our community. But then also, it's very deeply personal for me because my family has really put down roots here. My grandmother, she's 96 years old. She's about to be 97 in June. She has lived in Durham her whole life. And she grew up in the Southside community. She went to Hillside, graduated. She went to Central, graduated. And so just being able, growing up and being able to hear the stories that she would tell about our neighborhood and about, you know, how Durham used to be has been such a unique and special experience for me. So I'm very thankful to be in a city, I think, that has grown my personal family narrative so much, and then also give back in a way that feels right for me.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. So how often does your experience that you learn and kind of that you begin to develop when you were working with The Voice transfer over to what you do now at ReCity? Is there any sort of overlap there?
That is a great question. There is a lot of overlap. So ReCity's tagline is rewriting the story of Durham together. And that connects so heavily to what The Voice is doing in a very literal way, right? Because it's journalism, it's a paper. But again, going back to the idea of empowering folks to tell their own stories has been something that is a thread that runs along both of these experiences. And I think that that's important to name because I think we can all think of examples where people have come in with really good intentions to communities and prescribed solutions for them, or come in with this savior mentality. Mm-hmm. Of
kind of parachute journalism, well, in some ways.
Right. And so I think it's both being at ReCity and being a part of The Voice, it helped me recognize that, number one, why that's wrong, but why it's important, like the importance of telling stories the right way. And if you're not the person to do it, then, you know what I'm saying, pass that responsibility on, give somebody else the shine and let them do it correctly and let folks speak for themselves. And so I think in both ways, ReCity and The Voice are very good examples of being able to recognize the importance of empowering folks to talk about their own communities and find solutions for their communities, because that's what people have done since the beginning of time, especially communities of color. We've always taken care of ourselves, you know, and we don't necessarily need for outside groups to come in and say, this is how you need to be doing this better. But the solutions, the care, it's already there. So just kind of tapping into that. And again, empowering those folks to lift up those voices.
How has Durham changed in your lifetime? Have you seen those kind of empowerments or just other changes in the community for better or for worse since like high school and then returning after working for AmeriCorps and working in Miami?
Yeah, I would definitely say that Durham has changed a lot, even since I was in high school. But then again, going back to my childhood, a lot of the ways that I've heard people talk about Durham have been very one-sided and very, I guess, fatalistic, for lack of a better word. People, being straight up, people did not want to come here when I was a kid. The narrative was always that if you come to Durham, like, something's going to happen to you. It's really violent. It's this, it's that. And kind of reconciling those messages with Durham now and how it's been on, you know, different lists, like, oh, number one foodie city, this and that. It's exciting to me because I want to see shine on a place that I love, but I'm very acutely aware that the praises that people are saying about Durham, to me, they're still fundamentally leaving out whole communities of people, and those are the same communities of people that have been marginalized in the city since the beginning. And so it's, again, unprecedented amount of growth that's been going on, but just being that I'm from here and being that even the narrative of my family has been so heavily impacted by things like the urban renewal project that devastated the Haitai community, broke that up. Like, that's my grandma's from there, right? And so her own stories and my the experiences of seeing places that were just structurally, literally and figuratively broken up is always very present in the back of my mind, especially when folks come in from other places and they don't necessarily know that history. And so I'm hopeful that people will continue to have conversations about equity, what equity really looks like in Durham, how gentrification is impacting, again, marginalized communities within Durham. I think a lot of people have been really responsible about having those types of conversations. And so my hope is that people really connect more and tap more into that, especially if you're not from Durham. I think that that's so important, is to actually look into the history, to go visit places and to get educated first and recognize that the narrative, even though it's shifted, we're still kind of fundamentally ignoring communities of color here.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to unpack there, and it's understandable to have mixed feelings about it, because it's something that Jock preaches a lot to us, is, you know, it gets a lot of praise in certain areas, but in the communities that The Voice covers, there's still a lot of change that needs to be done, and just a lot of just recognition and respect that still needs to be given on that front.
Right. Absolutely.
What kind of impact do you personally want to leave in Durham? Working with Reese City or just in your lifetime, what do you see, or what do you wish for your lasting impact to be?
That is a great question.
It is a pretty heavy one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hit me with it. I don't think that I have any grand revelation on what I want my impact to be. I just want to be known as someone who was involved in the community in a meaningful way. And I don't mean necessarily that I need recognition from people on that, but I just want to cultivate good in Durham. I want to cultivate, I want to talk about the history of Durham. I want to engage with people that are doing important social justice work in Durham. And if it's not me, again, supporting someone that is doing it better. I just want to be honest about the successes and the challenges of this city and recognize that I'm just a normal, everyday person, but one that is highly invested in making the city the best that it can be. And again, highlighting the accomplishments of people of color, because especially in the Black community, there's just so much richness that is there that I haven't seen, you know, on a very formalized level. We even scratched the surface on those accomplishments, those achievements that have really created the foundation of what the city is built upon. So if I can help tap into that from a historical standpoint, whether it's through writing, whether it's through talking to the elders in my community, whether it's through working with young people and helping them tell their own stories, whatever way that I can, then I think that I'll leave having a good impact on Durham. I feel really passionately about that.
Zenzele, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Zenzele Barnes, who worked as The Voice's first teen editor-in-chief back in 2010. She now works as the community manager for ReCity in Durham. If you want to hear more stories like Zenzele's and others from the Durham community, be sure to visit our website for more episodes and articles at durhamvoice.org. Our music is written by Forrest McConnell, and I'm your host, Brighton McConnell. Thank you for listening.